Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello, this is Abe Thompson from the SecureSet Studios here in Colorado Springs on the New Cyber Frontier. Today we have the distinct privilege to have as our guest Mr. Trevor Deardorff. He's the CEO and founder of Amnet here in Colorado Springs. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thanks, Abe.
Good to have you. So tell us a little bit about your journey as you've, kind of obviously had your IT passion and then kind of this grew into a business for you. What's the Trevor story?
Well,
I get it. The Trevor story. Thank you. Thank you very much.
A little baseball joke. I started Amnet actually when I was a PC tech at Best Buy.
Fantastic.
Back in the 90s. Back in before Windows 98 came out. So.
And is that the Geek Squad or is that something different that Best Buy had?
Best Buy hadn't acquired the Geek Squad
yet. Wow, so wow, okay.
Just in-house IT guys. And
excellent.
We helped people choose things like sound cards and CD-ROM drives yeah. and modems.
Sure.
And it was back in the day when hardware was hard and we had to worry about things like IRQs and memory addresses and
right.
COM ports. But it was a great place to learn and my business was launched out of that. I just identified that there was an unfilled niche for small business.
Sure.
And when I left Best Buy, I did a short stint at School District 11 as their Y2K specialist. Not much call for those anymore.
Sure.
I'm ready for Y3K, though.
Yeah. As long as you're here to execute, I think it's a great idea.
So, yeah, since started the business at Best Buy, 98, but it became my full-time gig February 2nd of 2000. I haven't worked for anybody but me since.
That's fantastic. You know, imagine being your own boss. I remember Y2K. I was actually at NSA at the time, and you know all these precautions and theories of what people thought was going to happen. So it was kind of a anticlimactic, actually, as we've all learned. But I'm glad that would have been a little too much. So. You were in this space, you were already doing sort of customer interface and helping people with some basic computer problems, but from that emerged this need, this dream for a business. And so did you start at managed services or was it really just IT technical before you kind of grew into managed service?
Back then we really didn't have the tools for automation,
sure.
for remote control,
sure.
for all those things that we have today. So no, initially it was projects and break fix and scheduled maintenance.
Sure.
It evolved into managed services as that came along.
Sure.
And you know, security was always part of it.
Right.
But back then, the security landscape was such that you needed to have users locked down as tight as you reasonably could.
Right.
And you needed antivirus and a firewall. And beyond that, that was enough for small business.
Sure.
Until a few years ago, and
wow.
and now there's so many more bases to cover. The threat landscape is so much more dangerous
sure.
today than it once was.
Sure, and diverse and all over the map. I mean, how does one stay current? I mean, was that even a consideration in those days, staying current? I mean, did you have journals that you could read to stay up, or how did you discover what the latest and greatest was in those days?
Well, I got on my dial-up modem.
Whoa.
Of course, this was before Google, even. Jeez. It was part of what I love about IT is it's constantly evolving.
Sure.
It's getting better, faster, cheaper.
Yeah.
And that Moore's Law has kind of, I think, slowed down. We are not seeing, you know, those $5,000 computers came down to be $500 computers. We're not going to see $100 computers in the next 8 years.
No.
unless you're talking about something like a, you know, a Chromebook or
which
something.
I think is about there, isn't it? Just about at $100, $200 maybe for used ones. But You know, you look at the processing speed and the RAM, of course, nowhere near what most of us need for basic stuff. We do a lot with virtual machine and whatever else. But
the software companies keep writing software to use those resources up, don't they?
Oh, sure enough. Yeah. It's. I wonder if that's like a racket or on purpose. I wouldn't insinuate, of course. Let's take a quick break and go hear from our sponsor.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
And this is Abe Thompson back from SecureSet Studios here in Colorado Springs on the new Cyber Frontier. Our guest today is the CEO and founder of Amnet here in Colorado Springs. And so we're reminiscing, a little nostalgia as you kind of began your journey. So what were some of the big pivotal points that launched into sort of the Amnet that we know today from its early beginnings when you first started?
Well, as we became a managed services provider, our PSA tool was ConnectWise, and our RMM tool was LabTech, which is now Automate. You know,
sure.
ConnectWise has absorbed a bunch of companies and brought them into the fold, right down to even Perch, which is one of the detection response solutions that we use for our clients and in-house for cybersecurity.
Sure. And you mentioned cybersecurity. When did you first start to have a desire to implement cybersecurity as a more front and center part of what you're doing there at Amnet?
You know, we saw the writing on the wall that things were getting riskier out there.
Yeah.
That, you know, people used to write viruses for notoriety. You know, the I love you virus, the Melissa virus,
Emda.
Those are some good viruses that you love to hate. And
I tragically know them well.
But things like ransomware came along.
Yeah.
And it used to be hacking was very targeted. They knew who they were going after and what they wanted.
Sure.
And then they would try and take this information and find a buyer for it.
Right.
Well, they found out that we would buy our own stuff if we could be kept from it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it changed the game. And it took it from notoriety to profitability. And I remember seeing recently that the dollar amount on cybercrime for 2021 is projected to be $6 trillion.
Yeah.
And when you put that in perspective, that the U.S. federal budget is $4.4 trillion.
Yeah.
So it's almost 50% larger than our entire federal budget.
And we're only spending, as I understand in that same metric, I think I saw like 1/6 of that worldwide to address the cybercrime that's out there. And I imagine, too, you had a good customer base, you know, you developed rapport, and so people were coming to you anyway, and so they had this added vector, and I imagine that probably manifests itself in different products and services that you needed.
Oh, absolutely. And explaining to our clients that, antivirus and firewall is no longer enough, and you need 2FA, and you need this detection and response solution, and yes, we're going to lock things down more.
Sure.
The message I give them is that security is inconvenient.
Yeah.
I hate selling security because I'd rather sell them a faster computer and a bigger monitor.
So they can grow and supposedly do more,
A great big server that'll help propel their business forward. And cybersecurity, if anything, creates hassle and slows people down.
Yeah. Well, and you know, one of the things we're training these young men and women here at SecureSet to do is to be able to articulate that need, especially to some of these CEOs who are interested in widgets and production. And then now you're telling me to spend money in what is either a profit loss area or it's not producing widgets, right?
Right.
And so there's a significant paradigm shift. And so we need cyber warriors out there articulate in doing that and making that case. And so as the services of, that you've provided have kind of evolved, it's been a natural sort of, you know, inclusion of cybersecurity. How have you kind of built your workforce to accommodate the change?
You know, we've got an Excel spreadsheet with our team on it, and then mm-hmm. these different technologies that we sure. have to deal with, and whether that's supporting Windows 7, 8, 10,
yeah.
or Server 2008, 12, 16, 19, or Mac OS, or iOS, or Android. And then we've got things like SonicWall, Cisco, cybersecurity. And we rank our team on their proficiency.
Sure.
And a D is they're familiar with it, a C, they've got a novice level familiarity with it, B, they can support it, deploy it, but they're not certified.
Sure.
And then an A is that they're both competent and certified.
Sure.
In that. And, you know, there's different skill sets, whether you're going red team, blue team.
Yeah.
And it's even kind of a different personality sometimes of yeah. who you're going to find for yeah. those roles.
Yeah, I've worked around those folks. Yeah. Now, have you seen over time the grade improve and the ranking improve for individuals, and how have they gotten there?
Well, part of our company values, our company values are relationships, integrity, service sure. excellence, and education and growth. That education and growth piece, we're very careful that when we're talking to potential employees, that the job doesn't mean you've crossed a finish line as far as learning goes.
Sure.
That it's an industry, you've chosen to be an industry that is constantly evolving, and our business won't be better if our people aren't better.
Yeah.
And we're going to expect you to continue to improve and grow
sure.
as a person, as a technician, and otherwise, you're not serving your team
sure.
and serving our clients well.
Well, and it's clearly proven itself out. I mean, you were just selected as the top cybersecurity business by the Colorado Springs Business Journal. You're in the top 200 of MSSPs, and that's nationwide, was that?
Globally.
Globally, that's phenomenal. There's only, I think, one other here in town that achieved that standard. So obviously, you're doing something right, and you're seeing success there. And then, you know, that's a company value, and it's sustained. How do your customers experience that, you know, and those types of things?
Well, we've got to kind of put it in crayon for them.
Yeah, sure.
And help them understand what the risks are, why these things cost as much as they do.
Yeah.
Why they have to make things more of a hassle. You know, going back to talking about the fact that security is inconvenient.
Right.
Do you remember? You wouldn't remember this. Dropping someone off at the airport, you wouldn't just pull up to the curb and kick them out.
No, you'd walk with them to the plane.
You'd park your car. You'd go with them to the gate, and you'd sit with them till they boarded their plane.
Yeah.
And
that's
that
so
was
foreign.
Normal.
Yeah.
And now it's you wouldn't even dream of it.
Sure. Yesterday, I was talking to a group of high school kids in honor of Veterans Day, and I made a sweep of the room, and I said, I just realized that probably no one in this room other than the teachers and I were even alive during 9/11. And so there's a whole generation that doesn't know the way that it was.
I still remember the back of the plane was the smoking section.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah, they were allowed to smoke on planes. Can you imagine that?
The final 10 rows or whatever.
So you've obviously seen the massive change, but you've done a great job of riding with it and flexing and being agile. What is the secret to that agility, I think, from your perspective as the, you know, the vision caster and leader in an organization?
Well, you have to kind of pick a course and go with it. And we will look at that skills matrix
sure.
and decide either what we need to train
add.
For
mm-hmm.
or hire for.
Sure, sure.
And sometimes if you need somebody that's three levels higher than you got, that's somebody you got to go hire instead of trying to build that in-house.
Sure. Now, is it when you're like trying to determine like a position to hire, is it do you like a workforce study to figure out the man hours that would be assigned, you know, which would justify hiring one more person? Or how do you kind of arrive at those decisions to add staff?
There's a lot of metrics that we're tracking with response times, resolution times,
sure.
multiple of W-2, mm-hmm. profitability mm-hmm. by client.
Sure.
I mean, sometimes when you're too busy, the right thing to do isn't to hire, but to get rid of your bottom 10% of your customers.
So was a lot of this, I mean, did you pick up some of the business things alongside of some other formal schooling along the way?
Yeah, I learned mostly the hard way.
Yeah.
Mostly by making mistakes.
Sure.
And then learning from them, hopefully.
Sure, sure.
But I've schooled around.
Yeah, good. Again, provides that balance too. I mean, and honestly, one of the things we learn here is theory is one thing, schooling is one thing, education is one thing, but there has to be a transfer from the head to the keyboard, you know, through those fingers, and there has to be that hands-on component to really cement the learning, in addition to, you know, certifications to kind of round out an employable person. Now, let's take another quick break and go hear from our sponsor.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
This is Abe Thompson here at SecureSat Studios in Colorado Springs, here on the new Cyber Frontier with our guest, the CEO and founder of Amnet, Trevor Deerdorf. So, Trevor, as you now sit in the position of sort of an employer, you sit as a small businessman. You know, small business in the United States certainly is in great need of what you provide, but there are a lot of folks out there that aren't sure how to vet, how to pick the right managed service providers, how to pick the right cybersecurity folks. In the general sense, how would you advise these people in what to look for and how to vet the service providers like yourself?
Well, I mentioned earlier the NIST cybersecurity framework.
Yeah.
Small Business Administration has recommended that framework for anybody, regardless of if they've got compliance requirements with the federal government.
Sure.
I would start by asking a potential or current provider, tell me about how the solutions you're providing me align with the NIST framework. How does it line up with all the different areas there?
Sure. Well, and in some cases, like you said, there's compliance requirements, but you're really kind of, I think, alluding to the need that everyone could potentially be a soft target for these, you know, cyber criminals. And so, you know, everyone wants to follow this framework because it does provide some protection if adhered to.
Well, nothing's 100%.
Yeah, of course.
And if somebody wants guarantees, I make them promise that, you know, you keep users off the network and we'll start
perfect there
and then we'll cancel your internet service.
We're getting better, getting more secure.
I think from there, I'm pretty confident I'll put a guarantee behind your network.
Uh-huh. Oh, one could dream. The eighth layer of the OSI model.
Well, you know, helping them understand that nothing's going to be 100%.
Right.
For the most part, unless they're really being targeted, hackers are lazy. They're looking for the easy in.
Yeah.
I talk about someone walking through a mall parking lot at Christmas, jiggling door handles, looking for that unlocked car.
Right.
They can see in the window. They know there's packages there. They could break the window or pick the lock, but they're not going to call attention to themselves that way.
Right.
So they're
right.
Just jiggling door handles. Those hackers need to just walk on by because either your car's locked or they can't even see your car.
Sure. Well, social media makes it easy for us to show the world that we've got packages in our car, and you know, some of these other places where we're just potty mouths with data and information. Hey, I'm on vacation. Thank you. You know, mm-hmm. those types of things. And I think, you know, people talk culturally about the United States. We're probably the worst at some of that in terms of our excessive information.
Oversharing.
TMI in many different areas.
Did I tell you about my rash?
No. I'd rather you didn't hear on the air. Thank you. Moving on.
I have a camera. I can show you.
Oh, gosh. This has become the best show ever, ladies and gentlemen. So you know, looking over the horizon, so there's that framework for small businesses. And I've also heard, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, that some of the small business development councils in some of the areas are working to help the BBB establish a cybersecurity standard. What have you heard of this?
Well, they had locally a cybersecurity day where I was a sponsor this time. Mm-hmm. We spoke at the one that they did last year.
Yeah.
But I think that it's completely appropriate for them to, as they're advising businesses on how to grow a business,
sure.
That how to secure a business is pretty important too.
Yeah.
You can end up like Colorado Timberline Publishing if you're not locking things down. You know that story, don't you?
Well, I've heard of the many small businesses that have had the breach and been completely unable to recover. Most people don't have the depth of resources to do that. But what's the general tenets of this story?
So Colorado Timberline Publishing was a Denver-based publishing company, 100 employees.
Yeah.
And August of 2018, they got ransomware. And there were other complicating factors, but the bottom line is, a month later, they shut their doors and 100 people lost their jobs because they weren't adequately protected from a cybersecurity standpoint.
Had they been adequately warned?
You know, I reached out to one of their, who I think was their IT director at the time on LinkedIn. I want to have a conversation. I want to learn from what he learned.
Yeah.
He hasn't accepted my invite yet, but
a little painful.
So I don't know certainly all the details. I know that because of ransomware, 100 people lost their jobs.
Well, and I remember during your speaking last year at that particular conference, you had a very personal story that you brought up regarding your dad. And man, I remember being angry sitting there listening and wanting, because I know your dad. And so that, I was doubly angry. But do you mind sharing a little bit of that? And just to kind of put into perspective the cybersecurity framework needs here.
Well, my dad used to work for me. Mm-hmm. He's retired now, but he received an email from me.
Mm-hmm. Quote unquote.
Yeah, asking him to go to the store and buy 20 $50 Google Play cards and email me the codes. And he texted me while I was on the golf course. Mm. And he said something like, I bought 7 cards at Safeway, but that's all they had, so I'm heading to Walgreens. And I texted him like, I'm not sure why you're telling me this. I had no idea what he was talking about. And then 20 minutes later, I got the text. He said, got the cards, on my way back home to email you the codes. Like, I still don't know why you're telling me this. And next message was email sent. And I just wish that instead of texting him back, one of those messages, I just called him and said, what the heck are you talking about? I could have at least kept those codes from ending up in that criminal's hands. What made me nuts, though, is immediately we recognized what happened, contacted Google. They did not care.
Jeez.
I said, here's the codes.
Yeah.
You can see who redeemed these codes, and here's all the information you need to prove that this was a scam,
and
you could at least refund the money to my account, even if it's Google Play credits. They said, call the FBI, call Walgreens, see if they'll give you money back. Google used to have this, their mantra was do no evil, but do no goods in there too, I think.
Yeah, I'm sad to hear that, but not surprised. In the cyber instances I've been involved in, you know, I did at least once get an officer to kind of get involved in the scenario. They sent somebody out and interviewed me, but just doesn't seem a sense of urgency. Now, you look at your customers. You want what's best for them and their infrastructure. You want what's best for your business and its growth. And you want what's best for people like your dad, our parents, our parents' generation, who, you know, has been targeted. What do you see on the horizon that we need to prepare them for?
Prepare our clients for?
Yeah.
Boy, we are still getting bases covered for our clients. We're mm-hmm. we're putting in place what we can where we can. Some apps are not working with 2FA yet.
Yeah.
And if there's any PII associated with these companies, we really insist they need to have a solution that requires multi-factor authentication.
Are most surprised when you highlight the PII component, or are they getting smarter, the typical client?
They're getting smarter because we're educating them.
Good.
But there are many IT firms who are really good at keeping boxes running.
Okay.
They're great at setting up servers and switches and firewalls and installing apps. But when it comes to security and actually hardening a network, they're not where they ought to be.
Hmm. And so what do we do?
Well, I'm not one for excessive government regulations.
Yeah.
I think that people need a way to certify that they are competent in an area.
Yeah.
CompTIA had the Security Trustmark Plus, which was a process a business could go through to demonstrate their competence with the NIST framework.
Sure.
And I think that's a good place
to
start. But then CompTIA's got to get the word out.
Right.
For companies who are going to hire an IT company, make sure they've got the Security Trustmark Plus.
Sure. Well, and it is a starting place. And I appreciate the sense of not wanting to rely on government regulation. I mean, our country was not built and strengthened by government regulation. It was built by entrepreneurs and you know, good people that were seeking to look after one another, and you know, your word is your bond, and those types of things. And certainly, I would hate for government to replace the obligations of good citizenry, right? Mm-hmm. Even in this industry and in this place. Now, you're an IT guy that is, you know, entered into and fully recognizes, and is I consider you as a professional, even in the cybersecurity space. Being in both those realms. Do you see more and more importance that needs to be placed on the separation of duties between, say, the IT and the cybersecurity person? You know, how a lot of the compliance regulations point that out. What do you feel about that distinction?
You know, in a smaller business, it's oftentimes difficult to have specialists, highly paid, highly competent specialists in a variety of areas.
Sure.
If I'm going to hire someone who is going to work in my business, we're primarily a Microsoft shop, mm-hmm. You know, whether that's Azure, Office 365, on-prem Windows servers. I need my Windows server administrators to have a solid grasp of security, and I need my security people to have a solid grasp of things like Active Directory and firewalls and things like that, where they can work collaboratively.
Sure.
But it used to be, like many industries, you could be a jack of all trades. You understood databases and websites and security and Cisco and Windows. And now it's just gotten so specialized that, you can kind of major and minor, but you can't have 10 majors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to have any depth in any of them, for sure. Have you worked with organizations that actually have IT or clients that actually have cyber and IT folks in place already?
Sure.
Okay. How does an organization like yours come alongside, or how does that look?
Well, most of our clients, we are their IT department.
Sure.
And those companies typically have 20 to 200 employees. Mm-hmm. We have some that are larger, some that are smaller. The ones that are larger typically have got an in-house IT team.
Sure.
That either may not have the competence that we have in a specific technology that they are wanting to implement, so
sure.
we come alongside them, do the project for or with them. Some cases, it's our tool set that they want our backup solution and our firewall and our monitoring, and they do the rest. They take care of the users and the projects and things like that. So
sure.
it's It's collaborative, and okay. we can actually let them have our ticketing system for them to use oh. in-house. And then, let's say they've got two in-house help desk people, and one's out on vacation, the other calls in sick. Those tickets can then come to us.
Sure.
And we can support them, and we'll figure out, you know, in advance what that billing structure looks like.
So in those places where some of the infrastructure already exists, are you finding the skills wanting? Are you finding them prepared? What is the majority observation?
Overwhelmingly, people are unprepared.
Mm, and it continues.
And they've got best effort going on, but a lot of it is a skills gap and a knowledge gap.
Yeah.
They don't know what they don't know.
Sure. You know, then there are myriad solutions out there. What are the things you hope people would go and do to get better, get stronger, get more effective in the IT and the cybersecurity spaces?
Well, first of all, user awareness training.
Okay, yeah.
I mean,
that's where it starts.
You know, Dr. Huffman here at SecureSet talks about the fact that users are a lot easier to hack than firewalls.
Yeah.
And there's so much truth to that. And so to Dr. Huffman's point, user awareness training, top of the list. Harden your network as far as user rights on the network.
Sure.
Your firewall, not using remote desktop services if possible.
Yeah.
At least don't have it on 3389. Getting cyber insurance.
Yeah.
Having an image-based backup that is protected from, you know, your network.
Sure.
Sometimes what hackers have done is if they've gotten in to a network, they delete the backups.
Yeah.
Then encrypt the server and back out.
There goes your redundancy.
Right. So having that, so we use a Windows-based server that sits alongside their server mm-hmm. with image-based backup software, but that server itself is not joined to the domain, and it's often segmented, you know, with its own VLAN. Just putting barriers in there to keep it from being easy to take advantage of that situation.
Sure.
Even having different remote management software between those two devices.
And that's accessible. You know, we can eventually get folks there. Ladies and gentlemen, Trevor's story is sort of kind of like the American dream. You know, he worked his way up from, you know, basic tech at Best Buy to being a prominent local businessman in the IT and cybersecurity space. And I just congratulate you on your success and these recent accolades and just sort of your impact on the cybersecurity community here in Colorado Springs. So thanks for being with us, Trevor.
Absolutely. Thank you, SecureSet.
Thanks for that plug. This is Abe Thompson here at the SecureSet Studios here in Colorado Springs on the new Cyber Frontier. Good day.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.